Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. And as the day we celebrate John Majors, Jimmy, we go back to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline for yet another special guest and someone we're proud to say is a longtime friend.
Well, that's exactly right. It's David Cutcliffe. He is a head coach at Duke. He was a longtime assistant at Tennessee, a longtime offensive coordinator at Tennessee. David, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm like everybody when I got the call really early this morning. It just stunned me. I thought about it when I heard about Coach Dye. I had somebody from Auburn. You know, I had a couple of guys work with us that played for Coach Dye. And first person I thought of when I heard of Coach Dye was Coach Majors, and had wanted to get him on the phone. Isn't it crazy how things work out like that? And, yeah, just a tough day, to be honest with you. I had a tough time just even conducting my staff meeting this morning.
Why did you think of Coach Majors when you heard about Coach Dye? Was it just because you knew that they were good friends, or you were just concerned about Coach Majors?
Just always concerned, you know, when I'd see him, whether it was at a clinic, and I'd seen him more over the last few years, more and more, and talked with him on the phone, although his hearing wasn't good. Maybe that's why we got along so well, you know, what I was saying at the end. But, you know, he and Coach Dye were certainly contemporaries. In our time there in the early 80s, mid-80s, Auburn had raised the bar. People forget that. And that became the target. And in recruiting, and I had South Georgia and Alabama, so I'm going head-to-head with that Auburn staff. And, you know, Coach Dye brought out the competitive parts of Coach Majors. And I don't think, you know, you could ignore the fact that that was where he was. And we went after Auburn, and he successfully accomplished that, you know. You go back and look at those games there in the mid-80s, it made a huge difference in our program to elevate ourselves and attack Auburn, and that was attacking Pat Dye in his eyes.
It's well known that Coach Majors could be demanding of his assistant coaches, and I just want you to talk about your relationship with him when you were an assistant at Tennessee and then your relationship that came later when you were a head coach at Duke.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I had nothing but the ultimate respect for Coach Majors as a young assistant, learning from him starting in 1982, was it easy? No, but that's a different era. I don't think that you could take his way and utilize it today with young coaches. I had a pretty thick skin, and you had to have that, but in the end, it's kind of like the way you knew you were getting better. And unfortunately, all too often, he was right, you know, kind of make you mad. One of the things that I will say that I appreciated, and maybe it's that era that's somewhat passing away now, they didn't go around behind your back. They went straight at you, and you know, I did stand my ground some with him, and I think he respected that. I do. We talked about that, but he was challenging. Larry Lacewell told me one time, and I was with Coach Majors 11 years, and he said, "You're either the dumbest or the toughest SOB I've ever known." And I said, "Probably dumbest, you know." But, you know, it made me better. I promise you that. The few years that I was over here at Duke, and I knew Coach Majors, I took great notes, and Coach Majors had talked about Duke and Tennessee and his era as a player, and he had a great half over here, and he and I hadn't talked much, and, you know, there's no reason to beat all of that up right now, in my opinion, that era, but I just felt like it was time to get past that. And so David Moon and Glenn Streno and a few of the old linemen that I love so dearly from that era. I called them and I said, guys, let's get a plane. Let's bring him over. I want to hear what he thinks about our practices. I want him to be in that stadium, you know, and we did that. And I let him talk with the staff after practice, certainly the team, but after I let him critique coaching, and because he was phenomenal at it. He had a great eye for football. And then he and I went up and sat in my office and laid everything on the table. And it was a great moment for me. I'm glad I did it. He was very meaningful to me in my coaching career. And so, you know, I think it's a good way to do things, particularly without a pandemic. It was a great hug. And we were good after that. And I was always, you know, a part of the Nike clinics where he had part ownership in those Nike Coach of the Year clinics. And so he would come in and sit in the room, and I would see him smile, Jimmy and John, when I would use some of his expressions or talk about some of the practice habits that it takes to win. And he knew exactly where they came from, and I intended him to know. So I give him great credit for so many parts of me that are good, if there is any good parts of me. So, yeah, I'm going to miss him. I truly am.
David, always great to catch up with you. What was the process like as you made the move from being the head coach at Banks High School to join Tennessee staff as a graduate assistant? What was it like to connect with Coach Majors, and how did that opportunity present itself?
Well, it's interesting. You know, it ties into Philip Fulmer and certainly Coach Majors. Philip was an assistant at Vanderbilt for George McIntyre, and Nashville's not very far from Birmingham. We had good program, had good players, and Philip had signed one of our players at Vanderbilt. We developed an acquaintanceship at that time, and then we had some good players again, and Coach Majors came down with Philip to watch a practice. They were going to stay there just minutes, and ended up staying the whole practice. And Coach Majors afterwards wanted to talk with me, and you know, he wanted to know, where'd you learn how to run a football practice like that? And so we talked, and Philip that called me back later said, Coach Majors, when the season's over, he's going to talk to you about a job. And yeah, I'm like, yeah, right, okay, you know. And then sure enough, they called and flew me up there and offered me a job. And different era, we all know that, but I forgot to ask what it paid, and I accepted it. And I got up there, and my Social Security report, when it comes in, reminds me, my first year at Tennessee, I came in January, I think it was. Coached through that December and made a little under $3,500. And I didn't say $35,000. I said $3,500. But Coach Majors informed me that very next spring that the NCAA had decided to go from 8 full-time coaches to 9 full-time coaches. And I did an interview for that when he just told me that was going to be me. And I think I tried to just be a good worker. And I tell young people today, you know, a lesson of that and with Coach Majors and lessons from Coach Bryant is that instead of people that are out seeking another job, I think if you focused on the one you've got, and you do it as well as you can possibly do it, you got a better chance of becoming someone's best choice or whatever that is. And I've tried to live my life that way, and I've tried to live in my career that way. And I'm thankful that Coach Major saw something in me to give me that shot. And Philip was great to me during that era. I don't want that being left unsaid. I don't think I would have gotten the opportunity to begin with without Philip. So, you know, even being an Alabama grad, I really post my career to Tennessee and all the great people there and the institution and just what it's meant not only to my career, but to our lives. And so, yeah, Coach Major's passing away, you know, I just feel like it put part of me in the ground today, and I mean that respectfully.
Can very much understand, and it's no doubt about it, he had such a connection to his players as well as his assistants, and we talked about this with his brother Bobby, and that is 33 assistant coaches for John Majors have gone on to become head coaches. You're a part of that tree, and of course now, as long as you've been a head coach, you've got a tree of your own, and I'm just wondering, what's it like to be a part of the Coach Majors tree, and what does it mean to you when you see somebody sprout from your staff to go get that first opportunity?
I am passionate about that, John. I'm very proud that I worked for John Majors, and I'm proud of what I learned and what I know. I'm proud to pass it on. I can't tell you how many coaches today that have worked with us or for us contacted me with condolences, because they knew, and I shared lessons, and I didn't plagiarize. I always give Coach Majors the credit when I repeat things that he so deeply believed in about practice. They've become a big part of my DNA, and I think it's one of the reasons I'm very confident that we can be successful in the toughest of circumstances and jobs, because if you go back to the fundamentals of coaching, teaching, and then getting it done on the grass, I don't know that there was anybody any better than John Majors at running a practice and how you go about trying to build a winner. So I think all coaches that have worked for him and with him and with us through the years as we've carried on have benefited from it. I got some of the best young coaches right now. Oh, my goodness. And they're going to be great head coaches. And you know what's the better part of that? And I think Coach Majors and I talked about this, is that when you not only coach players and you coach coaches, and he considered himself a coach of coaches, then your influence can carry on for many, many, many years beyond your existence. So what I would tell Mary Lynn, if she were face-to-face with me, that John Majors won't suffer the second death so often people do, where they're forgotten. His ways and his teachings are going to live not only through me, but others that I've touched and others that they touch. And that's why that word and that title, I should say, coach, teacher, because there are also teachers that are the same way out there, is one of the more honorable professions still in this world. So, yeah, I'm emotional and I'm talking a lot, but that's what we do when we are faced with these circumstances.
David, you've mentioned the names of two iconic coaches, John Majors and Bear Bryant. Do you think your practices more resemble what you learned from Coach Majors than from Coach Bryant?
Yeah, because particularly more pertinent to less players. In Coach Bryant's era, there were so many more players, you know, Jimmy, on the field, the makeup of the practice was really completely different in so many ways. I think one of the things I liked about what Coach Majors did was that his utilization of time was phenomenal. And we got on the field. He stressed coaching on the run and movement and tempo a good bit more than Coach Bryant did. And I think it's fit well in an era where we have less players. We got to get more done in a shorter period of time. And so I think what we do today does mimic him quite a bit more.
Hey, David, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. And really do appreciate your comments about Coach Majors.
Well, I appreciate you guys. You know, y'all have lived it all. It's pretty cool that you're still there and operating and running, and you yourselves have a great tradition. So keep carrying the fight to the opponent and keep it there for how long are y'all on? 3 hours?
Four.
So we used to have to carry the fight to the opponent and keep it there for 60 minutes. Y'all got to do it for 4 hours, boys, so crank it up, okay?
Well, when we get behind, we're going to pour on more steam.
I got you, man. I love it. I know you will. Well, I know that a part of those game maxims will never leave David Cutcliffe. And John Majors, God bless you. Rest in peace and thank you. Take care, guys.
David, thank you.
You too, David.
All right. Bye-bye.
David Cutcliffe, head coach at Duke, was hired by John Majors as a full-time assistant in 1983. His comments about the passing of Coach Majors.
Joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.